Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
No, I'm telling you, Australia's an island. I'm not. We're not going to keep. Are we on the air here? Welcome everybody to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. It's Wednesday, January the 8th, 2025. And thank you for listening to AFR and to this show. Again, Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano in studio. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And Chris Woodward.
Hello.
To your point, yeah, Australia's an island. It's also a nation. It's a continent. And I think we should buy it. Why not? We're on a spending spree. Let's just put it in our Amazon cart.
Okay. After we get through closing out on the Greenland deal.
That's right. Our wish list.
Then we buy Australia is what you're saying?
Why not?
Yeah. And it was.
Some good folks down there.
And we got Panama City. Or not Panama.
Yeah, we already on that.
Yeah, Panama Canal.
At least Florida one.
That's right.
So that's
we do have a running list.
Panama Canal, you're talking about. You're talking about. I don't think Trump wants to buy the Panama Canal. I think he just wants to use our military and take it over.
Sounds like it. Well, I would
go down there and take names, et cetera.
For those in Canada.
For those who didn't hear the show yesterday. So Wes, we had a little fun afterward. Wesley and I don't know. Wesley wasn't pushing hard; he was trying to play the middleman. Steve Paisley Jordoff was talking about whether or not Australia was an island, and Steve was going with the
continent.
Do you know this already?
No, it is a continent. Yeah,
we did.
We know which side you're on.
It's one of the seven continents. That we all learned about.
No, it is. No, I agree. It is a continent. We were joking. Here we go. I shouldn't have even started this.
You did start
this. It's going to be five minutes of wasted time.
It got Googled yesterday. I Googled them.
Yeah. Live on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did you come up with?
Well, here was the question at hand.
Yeah. You don't want that answer.
The question at hand had to do with something really in the news, and that is President Trump has talked about buying Greenland.
Right.
From, I guess, Denmark, which was news to Denmark. But anyway.
You want a what?
You like to take that phone call. This is Donald Trump. So, hey, somebody puts the phone off to the side with their hand over their receiver. This guy says he's President Donald Trump. Listen to this. He wants to buy Greenland.
Greenland.
Anyway. Yeah. So, so the question at hand was, I said, none to the audience listening to us, I said, did you know that Greenland is the largest island in the world? You know, I remember that from our trivia show.
Right.
And then Steve said something to the effect, well, Australia is because Australia is a continent.
Yeah.
Not an island. Did he say not an island?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Well, anyway, at that point, I didn't want to do it. But I just felt like I needed to correct Steve and tell him that Australia is an island, too. And then Steve gave the definition of an island, which is land surrounded by water on all sides, which I said, and yes, it was a smart aleck answer, and I regret it, but I did it. I said unto Steve, are you listening to yourself? You're telling me it's not an island, and you just gave the definition of an island, and Australia fits it perfectly.
Yeah.
So that's what we...
That's how we started.
We left it there.
Yeah. So when you started the show, you pretended you're still arguing.
Because our listeners were thinking yesterday, because I know what they were thinking.
Yeah.
They were thinking, would Tim just shut up about this island continent stuff because it's not important?
Right.
Okay. So I wanted to make fun of that by acting like I was still talking about it.
Still talking about it.
I'm still talking about it today.
I'm tracking with you.
So, listen, in the big scheme of the universe.
I could make this conversation go another 10 minutes, but I'm going to behave. I'm going to go to my coffee.
All right, all right. All right, so
go my coffee
is Australia a continent and an island, Ed, or do you know the answer to that definitively?
Yeah, it's a continent, not an island, only because there are the people who study geography have specific names for specific phenomenon, and if it's a continent, it's not an island. Now, I just made that up.
Okay, so two things can't be true at one time.
That is
on that.
You're correct. Right. Two things cannot be. No, I'm completely making
it up. I think we left this yesterday as we just should agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Didn't we, Wesley?
We did.
After you Google me?
I did.
You know what?
I read this to you yesterday.
But y'all believed it, didn't I? Because I sounded like I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, you did.
Used some words that made me have to think. Low tide elevations are areas of land that are not above the surface during high tide are generally considered islands.
Yeah. Well, also
that clears things up.
Also, I think
that's what I said.
It's inappropriate to Google your dad.
That's
on
fair.
Live radio,
which is also true.
Yeah, that's also true. I don't care if you are right. Yeah. You shouldn't do that to your father.
That is also true.
Chris, over to you. What's in the news, Chris?
Top that, Chris.
Has Greenland been bought yet, Chris?
No, well, actually, Denmark, I mean, if we want to keep it here, the head of Denmark is making the news for telling Donald
they
Trump.
They have a king, don't they?
Well, it's a
prime minister.
Figurehead. Yes.
Oh, the king's a figurehead.
The individuals that run the nation we call Denmark have informed President-elect Trump that Greenland is not for sale.
Is that how they answered it?
Yeah, that's what they said. Greenland is not for sale. Okay. Which to which only will make Donald Trump go off.
There was no expletive.
Well, I've got five words for this gentleman from Denmark.
Okay.
The art of the deal. Okay. We'll see.
All right, listen, I was talking to a few guys this morning about this. This sounds funny. That is, the idea of the United States through our president-elect, wants to buy Greenland. Mm-hmm. And President Trump said yesterday, make Greenland great again. Anyway. Oh, my. Trump's half comedian. Yes. You got to, huh?
I am looking forward to the next 4 years. I think he laughs at himself.
But then you don't. He blurs the line between reality and
which is why he's perfect for Babylon B.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or you don't. Yeah, because he could say something real and you put it on Babylon B.
Right.
So listen. I said to the folks we were talking. I said, in all seriousness, we have purchased land in our country's history, as other countries around the world in history have. So that in of itself is not ridiculous idea. We bought, you know, the Louisiana Purchase.
Like two-thirds of the country.
We bought Alaska from Russia.
Yeah.
What, 150 years ago or so? I mean, it wasn't been that long ago.
Well, the Louisiana Purchase was like 1803.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know.
You get that for a bargain, too.
Yeah.
$3 million.
We did. So, but I think France was desperate at the time. They owed, like, they were in a war.
That's what happened. Well, you let Napoleon run things.
Well, they were in heavy debt to, like, Nigeria. And they had to have some way to pay off.
Josephine got scammed by a Nigerian prince on the internet.
That's what happened. If you don't believe me, read the Babylon Bee.
Bought a Toyota for $1.
So I think President Trump is, if you ask him, would say, yeah, I'm serious about buying Greenland because you would say, why? Now, he may not tip his whole hand, but the potential for natural resources there, gas, oil, I don't know, what you name it, fish, I don't know, what all he would probably, and the fact that you could put American military bases there, which would be something to counteract Russia and maybe
and China cold.
And somebody, huh?
And cold.
And cold. Look, it's not exactly a tropical paradise.
He's not going to put a golf course there.
It's an ugly landscape.
I don't know why.
You're not
going to.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
I just want to throw this one thing in. It's not like you're going to ruin the landscape by putting up some mining coal.
Sure.
I mean, it's 50,000 people, and the land is pretty ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's enormous.
Yeah.
So anyway, the funny part of it aside, as funny as it sounds, you know, that's probably what he's thinking. Trump is thinking. To buy Greenland. But anyway, you would have to buy it from Denmark because Greenland is a territory of Denmark.
But you could foment discord. You could use the CIA.
Yeah.
To get the people of Denmark demanding independence from Denmark, the people of Greenland, rather, to demand independence from Denmark, then you buy it.
Yeah.
It's not like we've never done that before.
You've read The Art of the Deal.
Yeah.
Next story, Chris.
Well, our fellow Americans out in Southern California would probably rather be in Greenland today versus where they are. And I say that because thousands have fled as wildfires burn out of control in and around Los Angeles. Homes have been destroyed. Homes are threatened.
This is bad.
It really is. And this is one of those stories where, unfortunately, like television outdoes radio just based on things like pictures and video alone. If you have not seen, images from Malibu, especially, just imagine the sky being filled with smoke. And that's pretty much what's going on there in Southern California. We have a lot of sound about this
story. Oh, the sky for miles and miles and miles. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, I'm watching the video on TV right now. Wesley, you were reading, how many people are without power? 35,000?
30,000 homes have been evacuated because mm-hmm. of
the wildfires?
Yes, right.
We're talking about this annually now. I mean, but they've experienced this for decades, right? You have these winds, sometimes called the Santa Ana winds, mm-hmm. and they cause these fires to jump. And you can't mm-hmm. stop them. Mm-hmm. They basically have to almost burn out.
And yes. they spread very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. And this is in the Los Angeles area. Mm-hmm.
Malibu, Pacific Palisades neighborhood. That's actually a hillside area along the coast dotted with celebrity residences and memorialized by the Beach Boys and their 1960s hit Surfin' USA.
You know, my understanding is when these fires get started with these winds, like you're talking about the Santa Ana winds, they can outrun people. Mm-hmm. You can't outrun the fire. That's why they try to evacuate people
early. Yeah.
And it's erratic. You don't know where it's going to spread, but it'll jump
because the winds.
Because of the winds.
And they say it's dry out there too now.
Yeah.
So it's bad. It's a bad situation all through. Now, you're talking about Malibu and what's the other town?
The Pacific Palisades.
Those are towns that are north of Los Angeles itself, if my geography serves me correct.
I've never experienced anything quite like what we're seeing now or what we hear about with these wildfires, much like we don't usually in Mississippi hear about, you know, being snowed in, so to speak. So, it's hard to imagine looking at this, that's taking place right here in in California right now as we're sitting here.
Yeah.
Well, look at the video. We're looking at the video. See these trees just, if they're dry, I guess they just burn up. And then the flames go 50 feet in the sky. And then the embers, is that what you call them? They fly around, they jump. And that all of a sudden you have other homes on fire. It's terrifying. Absolutely.
Well, and
terrifying.
To Wesley's point, part of the reason why we don't have these kinds of phenomena in Mississippi or other parts of the Southeast is because we get a tremendous amount of rain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's during the year. What do we get? Like Mississippi gets like
58
inches a year. California is,
they might get 20.
Yeah.
15 or 20.
And they have environmental policies that make it illegal to have burn-offs where you burn some of that underbrush with a controlled fire so that it doesn't provide kindling for these huge fires.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad situation, very, very tragic of these folks losing their homes, their cars. Steve Jordahl showed us a video this morning of, this is out in Malibu area, there's a highway, and there's cars on the highway. The video was of cars that were abandoned on the highway. People got scared, the smoke, and they were stuck in traffic. True?
Yes.
So what had happened was you have they brought in a big bulldozer. So the bulldozer is on the road pushing cars off the road, right? Yes.
So emergency vehicles can, and other people right. need to flee.
I don't know how many cars they had to push off the road. But you could sell the stack. I
nice
saw at least
cars too.
15 or 20, 25 cars they were having to push out of the way.
Goodness.
But you can imagine these cars stalled out. Well, the people got I tell you, too, what has scared people, I'm guessing, is after what happened in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Was it Maui? Maui. That fire, how fast that spread, same type thing. And some people were trapped in their cars.
Yes, and others were diving into the ocean to get away from it.
Yeah, so I imagine when they're stalled out, their smoke's coming, they feel fire or something, they run.
Yeah.
They leave their car there. That's what was happening. But bulldozers used pushing cars away.
So where are we in this? Is it at the beginning stage, or has this been going on for a couple of days?
I would say beginning stages.
Okay.
The flames from a fire that broke out Tuesday evening is how the Associated Press words it.
Yeah.
I actually have sound from various people that evacuated. It's kind of a montage, if you will.
Let's play your montage.
Clip one.
You don't know what's going to happen, and the wind keeps shifting. And we've seen on all three or four hillsides right here, fire just pop right up. At some point, you're just like, this was inevitable in some ways.
I mean, I've never seen anything. Fires were this close to the cars. People left their cars on Palisades Drive. Burning up the hillside, the palm trees, everything's going. And the wind and the firemen are great, but you can only do so much.
It seems to me, let's get out of here. Whatever I lose, and there's nothing I can do about it.
How many more horses do you have?
We have a couple we just let loose over there. We're trying to get as many as we can out.
Yeah. Are any homes out there on fire?
Ozzy, I did not pay attention. I just drove straight to the barn to get my horses out.
Now, according to Fox, this is one news outlet, but according to Fox right now, at least four wildfires are now tearing through Southern California. A fifth has been contained. So it is spreading and getting worse.
Hey, you don't think about things like the guy with the horses.
Right.
You know, I mean, you hear about the fire, okay, it's X number of miles away, and then you turn around and it's closing in on your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, in that kind of situation, that's kind of... He's talking about he just turned the horses loose, right?
Well, there was two he couldn't traffic out.
That's what I'm saying. So you just turn them loose so they're not stuck in the barn when the barn burns down.
But that doesn't mean they're going to get away.
Mm-hmm. But at least they got a chance.
Yeah. Better than being in the barn.
There is a television drama that comes on CBS called Fire Country, and it's fictional, but it's about people that fight wildfires in California, Northern California specifically. And more often than not, episodes involve, you know, they're doing a prescribed burn or something to kind of prevent a fire from spreading. And then they're like, oh, no, the winds are shifting. And there was an episode maybe 2-3 weeks ago where a person was trying to get a horse out of a barn. So, I mean, these are, you know, things that we're seeing and hearing, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I can't imagine being in that situation. And all of a sudden, you know, one day you're fine and the next day you're.
Your house is burned down.
And all your possessions, everything.
That's what I'm saying.
Mentioned before, that last time we talked about fires in California, that from several years ago, saw videos of people trying to drive out of their neighborhoods. The fire had come up so quickly. Remember those videos?
Yeah.
Where people had fire on both sides of the road. And you could hear the people talking as they're talking to someone on the phone. They're driving. There's fire in the road, and you're going, are they going to be able to get out? And I can't imagine burning to death. That's in the top five of ways you don't want to go.
Yeah.
I thought this conversation was about one fire in one location in California, but it looks on this map right here. Are we also talking about there's multiple fires?
Yes, there are.
Yeah,
that's what Chris just said. One of the five has been contained.
Yes.
One of the four.
I'm looking at a map, and this is a map. This is from Fox News, a map of ongoing wildfires in Southern California. There's Palisades, Woodley, Eaton, Hurst, and Tyler. These are all fires. Now, I don't know which one of those is contained, Chris mentioned, but it's...
Anyway.
USA Today says at least two people are dead. That's going to go up. We're going to know far more tomorrow, maybe even by the end of today.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Chris. Chris, next story.
A bit of breaking news. President-elect Trump today, this morning in fact, filed an emergency petition to the U.S. Supreme Court in an effort to block his upcoming sentencing in New York v. Trump. This is the Judge Juan Merchan trial. Judge Merchan set Trump's sentencing in New York for January 10th. So Trump, in a, I guess, last 11th-hour type attempt, is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to prevent sentencing there. I can read a statement here. President Trump's legal team filed an emergency petition with the court asking justices to correct the unjust actions by New York courts and stop the unlawful sentencing in the Manhattan DA's witch hunt. That's according to a Trump spokesman in a story published by Fox. We'll see whether or not the Supreme Court answers. They don't have to.
The 10th is Friday, correct?
So we're looking at 48 hours.
So you guys correct me if I'm wrong. In terms of this case, my understanding is that the judge himself has previously said this is not going to involve a sentence. The sentence will not involve incarceration. Mm-hmm.
That was from a few days ago, yeah.
Yes. So the question then becomes what the sentence would be, and obviously, is this simply so that the judge can make sure that the word felon or convicted is stuck next to the Trump name before he is inaugurated?
Some people have thrown that out there, that they're just trying to make a legacy for themselves and ensure that there's some sort of stain on Trump's next 4 years in office, and forever, quite frankly.
I don't know. I don't have much of an opinion on this. Do you, Wesley?
I don't care.
Okay. I'm right next to that. I'm living next to you there on that.
Personally, I don't think the Supreme Court is going to intervene in this. I think that the Supreme Court's probably going to say, if this is unjust, you have to prove that on appeal.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Because this is a sentencing. He's already been convicted.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a sentencing by the judge.
Right.
And the judge has said there's no potential for him actually going to jail. Which one of the cases was this? This
how I feel about us. So I don't care.
I know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He's not going to go to jail. He may get a fine.
Isn't this the case involving?
He'll pay the minimum.
Then he'll appeal.
This is the case involving the accusation that he lied on his loans.
That's right.
Isn't that this case?
Oh, yes, it is, but I don't know. I don't know much more past what you just said. Yeah. So, but
Trump was found guilty of 34 counts of falsifying business records. That.
You know, Trump could be thinking, if I got to pay a fine, I'm just going to throw in Greenland. You know what I'm saying? I'll pay a little down payment, and I'll tell him I'll pay the rest with Greenland. What do you think? I mean,
you mean give it to New York?
Yeah, give Greenland to New York
and a potential territory
and
to be
say,
named.
Listen. Call it even. That way he didn't have to sell off Mar-a-Lago or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think? You think we might be going there?
I don't think he's going to give it to New York. I think
but he hadn't got Greenland yet, pretty so much you're trading something you don't actually have in your hand.
That's why I was
You know what they say.
He pretty much hates the legal system in New York.
Oh, yeah.
The country in your Loft hand there. Is better than two in the bush.
Is that what they say?
That's an old Australian proverb.
From the island.
From the island of Australia.
Guys, trivia is coming Friday. We need to focus. Guys,
bring
this back in.
Poor Wesley.
We have our break to get this together.
Poor Wesley thinks we're going to rein it in.
I don't know what to say.
All right. That's the point of this show.
We'll be back. Wesley.
We'll be back and we'll reset this.
I don't know if they want us back. We'll be back.
We'll be back. We'll NPR you.
That's right.
Okay, we will bore you to no end if you want that.
It's coming.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
In the 6th century B.C. lived a man by the name of Aesop. He was an extremely wise man in a very practical sort of way. He was a master storyteller whose stories carried with them a great principle. Many of his stories have been preserved and are circulated throughout the world to this very day. One of his stories had to do with a man who had accumulated a great deal of wealth. Instead of spending his wealth to make life more enjoyable for himself, and instead of giving his wealth away to make life more enjoyable for others, he cashed in his wealth and put it all in gold. The man took his gold and went into a forest near his home and buried it in the ground. Then each day he would walk out to where the gold was, dig it from the ground, and handle it. He would spend most of his time polishing the gold and keep it shining. After polishing the gold, he would wrap it back up, place it back in the ground, and cover it up again. Day after day, the man would go through the same routine. Go to the woods, dig up the gold, polish it, look at it, admire it, and then replace it. The man was indeed proud of his wealth. One day another man heard about the gold. He hid in the woods and waited. When the rich man passed, the second man followed him at a distance. He hid himself behind a tree and watched as the miser dug up his gold, polished it, and admired it. He watched as the man placed it back into the ground. When the miser left, the second man remained, hiding behind the tree. When the miser had gone out of view, the second man went to where the gold was, dug it up, and placed all the gold in a bag and escaped with it. The next day, the miser made his way back to where he kept the gold buried. Upon arriving, he noticed that someone had stolen his gold. The miser began to scream at the top of his voice, "Someone has stolen my gold! Someone has stolen my gold!" Others who heard him screaming came running to see what the trouble was. When the miser was questioned about it, he told those who had come what had happened. One man in the crowd asked the miser what he planned to do with the gold. "Do with it? Do with it? What do you mean, what did I plan to do with it? I wasn't planning to do anything with it. I was only going to keep it and admire it." "Well, if that's the case," replied the other man, "why don't you simply put some rocks in the hole and admire them? They will serve the same purpose." You know, money is only a means to an end, not an end in itself. You should use your money to benefit yourself and others. And if you don't plan to do that with your money, then get yourself some rocks. They aren't nearly as expensive and are a whole lot less likely to be lost or stolen. After all, rocks are as good as gold to hoard.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
American Family Radio. This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're here every Monday through Friday, 10:05 to 11:30 Central Time. And we hope you're having a good day. And I know that, by the way, Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Chris, and I know that a lot of folks are digging out, you know, across a big swath of the country.
From all the snow.
Yeah, and snow and ice.
Yes.
Because snow and ice. So anyway, that's happening. Well, I say digging out. I mean, I don't think the temperatures are going up, but, you know, physically digging out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you talked to Ray Pritchard.
Yes, we did.
Good friend.
In Kansas City,
and they had 18 inches of snow.
Apocalyptic.
Yes.
Type thing.
Yep.
And ice.
Yep.
And ice. Anyway, I told him yesterday, and I told our listeners, should that kind of thing ever hit the Deep South?
Oh, my goodness.
The South in general. Then it would be the end of civilization.
Yes.
I mean, you would be, we would be, you would be uncovered in a couple hundred years, and then they would write about this lost civilization called rednecks.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
They would find dollar generals scattered around, like,
yes,
you know,
yes.
What is this?
these were people known as rednecks.
Dollar
they
generals.
They lived in the
Popeye's
southern region
chicken.
Of what's called America.
Two more DGs, and that's our new state flower in Mississippi.
When we traveled the other day, I told them, I said, in Mississippi, within walking distance, in any direction, is a Dollar General.
Oh, yeah.
Almost no matter where you live, like out in the middle of nowhere.
It says they parachute them in.
Yes. They're prefabbed. They're built prefab, and then a big, you know, C-1 something flies overhead, and they drop it out the back, and it parachutes in. They have some guys on the ground that kind of guide it. And then they lock it down, and then it's open, ready for business.
All right, Ed, what's our next topic, and who's our next guest?
Well, our next guest, I'll start that. Start with that is Jeff Shambly. He's host of the Stan Radio, which is heard on American Family Radio.
He came a long way to be here, too.
Yes, came
talking about 100 steps or so.
Yep. The Stan Radio is heard Saturdays at 4 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. Jeff, welcome to today's issues.
Great to be with you guys. You know, this reminds me of back in the day, I was actually co-hosting today's issues.
Yes.
With Marvin Sanders, Kathy Coates, sometimes with Tim.
Right.
Way, way back in the day. So, boy, it's great to be back in the
studio. Now, you left for a while to be in the ministry. You're an ordained minister, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how many years total have you been at AFA/AFR?
Oh, boy. I was at AFA about 18 to 20 years when I took a five-year departure.
Right.
And then came back. So I don't know, somewhere around 21 years, 22 years maybe.
Jeff left to go be the minister of music.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. At the Calvary Baptist Church in Tupelo, Mississippi, and stayed there 5 years. Did you run out of choir talent or what?
You know, sometimes
why did you leave and come back?
You know, between the interim time and the full-time role, about 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, just the Lord led me to serve the local church for a season of time.
Yeah.
And the church needed some leadership in music at that period. Yeah. And it was obvious the Lord was opening that door at that time. So that's why I took it. So.
Yeah. And so there are, in the Christian life, there are seasons. Like there are seasons in nature.
Yeah.
And you do something for a time. And then you go on to your next assignment.
Yeah. But thankfully, I had one foot in the door with AFA all the time because I would do some voice work. Some production. And so AFA is just a family to me. I mean, this is like coming home.
I always described your voice as the golden voice. I mean, you have a really good radio voice and a voice.
You never said anything like
voiceover.
That to me.
Well, you know? And I don't say that about myself.
So
either.
That just proves that you don't toss around compliments lightly.
That's correct. You know what I'm saying?
So that was a genuine compliment to Jeff. When you see that you haven't said it to other people who work with you.
I would not. I am, what do they call that, flatterer? I'm not a flatterer.
Right, no, you're not?
Yes.
Oh, I know you're not.
So. All right, so Jeff,
yeah.
What I did an interview with you for the Stan Radio Monday.
Yeah.
The Stan Radio, excuse me for interrupting, just for those who don't know because they don't listen on the weekend, the Stand is the name of our magazine that goes out monthly all across America to our supporters. That's the name of the magazine. Is the Stand, formerly known as the AFA Journal.
Right.
Okay. So what we've done here is, excuse me for interrupting.
No, this is good. We need to do this.
Is what we wanted to do here is we wanted to have a radio program on the weekend that would be complimentary of the content of that magazine and reflected some of the things we're promoting here at American Family Association, right? On our radio network. So Jeff works for the magazine, and he works for our radio network. Thus, it was a natural fit to have Jeff produce this weekend show, which is, I don't get to listen a lot, Jeff, but I do know that you cover a lot of guests and news and information that is really interesting. And our listeners, but it's directly connected to what our ministry focus is.
Absolutely. Spot on, Tim. I mean, we have a distinct AFA flavor to the show. I mean, all of our programs do, but we take educating and empowering and activating people very seriously. You know, we talk about the subjects that we cover. One of my primary goals is that the Stand Radio would touch on just about every aspect of the Christian life. You know, Abraham Kuyper had a saying years ago, and I'll paraphrase it, there's not one square inch of creation where Christ does not declare mine. And, you know, the Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So everything belongs to the Lord. So we cover economics, we cover parenting, we cover education, religious liberty, climate and energy, science, sanctity of human life. Every one of those topics has a gospel application to it. And so we want to get guests to come on mm-hmm. and talk about those things.
So just as an example of what the Stan Radio is meant to do. So we have the latest issue of the Stan magazine is a pro-life. It's filled with this particular issue. This is the first time we've done this, dedicated to the pro-life issue. And in vitro fertilization was right. one of the issues that we deal with from a Christian perspective in this issue. You interviewed me on the article that I wrote to give a like Tim said, it's an addition to the material you would get from the Stand if you read the magazine.
Exactly.
So what are some of the other guests that you've had on? Nancy Piercy was one of them.
Nancy Piercy was one. Let me go down the line with some of these. Let's start with Nancy Piercy. We had her on to talk about her book, Toxic Masculinity. So we wanted to see what is the biblical worldview of what it means to be a man, and what is this attack on masculinity all about? So Nancy Piercy was a fantastic interview. Then we had David Bonson, who is on Fox Business regularly. He's an economist. He's a theologian. We had him on the program talking about the Christian worldview on work and labor. What does it mean to be an effective steward of creation in labor? So David Bonson was on. Then we had Randy Alcorn talking about grief and heaven. What's the new heaven and the new earth going to be like? Jeff King was on talking about the Christian persecution around the world. We also had Calvin Beisner with the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation on to talk about climate and energy. You know, we hear a lot about global warming and, mm-hmm. and the global the goal of eliminating fossil fuels. Well, what's the Christian worldview on that?
Right.
So Calvin Beisner came on and gave us, you know, really a very balanced look mm-hmm. at climate and energy. He also talked about, speaking of the issue on the sanctity of human life, we tackle the issue of the threat of, the so-called threat of overpopulation,
yeah.
which actually is a threat of underpopulation. And so Calvin Beisner came on to talk about the Christian worldview of what it means to populate the earth according to the dominion mandate in Genesis.
This is what Elon Musk talks about all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It really is a threat to the developed world, the fact of underpopulation. And the AFA Journal, before becoming the Stand, we covered that, like the Cornwall Alliance. Others are doing the same thing. And the point is that for a couple, a married couple, you have to have two children in order to replace yourself. If you have one child, if everybody in the world had one child, each couple, then after one generation, you have cut the population in half. And the problem is it is hard, very difficult to maintain prosperity when you do that. And some people aren't having any children at all.
Well, the Japanese aren't going to be around in 100 years.
That is a distinct possibility.
I mean, the Japanese birth rate is like zero almost.
It's in the negative.
It could be a case of an entire culture disappearing.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I saw something recently between a podcast about this very topic. The climate change thing is interesting because I guarantee you someone somewhere this week, if not already today, is going to blame the winter weather we're getting as well as the California wildfires on climate change.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Even though these are opposite phenomena.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, they had to change that because it used to be global warming.
Correct.
Yeah, right. That doesn't work anymore. I got a quick question.
Sure.
Sure. Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
So for our listening audience, many, if not most, get our magazine, the Stan magazine.
Right.
So in what way does the radio program, which is then podcast and archived, which You can go to find at AFR.net at anyone's convenience whenever you want. What would make it, what would be the added value, the difference?
Well, they will get, a lot of people sadly do not get the magazine.
Okay.
And so they will be able to get a flavor of what the topic is about for a given month.
Okay.
If they listen to the podcast. The other side of that is those who do get the magazine will get bonus content. Hmm. So we'll get the, many times we'll get someone who is interviewed for an article. And sometimes we'll get the, we'll take the topic and pick a different person to speak for it.
Okay.
And so we'll get, we'll cover the, a lot of the issues, but no matter what it is, Wesley, we'll always give people the biblical worldview and what they can do to become involved and activated in that theme. So you can go to our website. We have 70 episodes in our catalog on AFR.net. You can subscribe to the podcast, obviously, at AFR.net and iTunes. And Spotify, also available there.
These topics are wonderful. Let me just mention a couple here. How to be thankful in every circumstances, raising respectful children in a disrespectful world, biblical roles of husband and wife, and growing up in the family of adopted 10 children. 10 adopted children. Wow.
Yeah, listen, folks, we had Jeff on because we want our listeners to be aware of all the stuff that's available. If you are listening and you said, oh, magazine, I didn't even know that was available, you can go to afa.net, and there's a little drop down menu that says The Stand, and you can get signed up for our daily Stand email, because we do have an online content page, and then you can get the print version and you can sign up for that, and then also you can find out more about The Stand Radio. And to find podcasts of The Stand Radio, go to afr.net and click on the drop down menu for podcasts, and you will be able to listen to all this fine programming that Jeff has created.
What's there on this weekend?
Oh, you caught me off guard, Tina. This weekend.
Because you got to record, right?
Well, this weekend, because my mind is split between preparing for the next month's issue. So my brain is actually 2 months ahead. You'll go to AFR.net and find out what the show is about this weekend.
That's it.
Okay.
I have the same problem, Jeff. My mind is always 2 months ahead.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, look, let's do it this way. What was the last one? I got it right here. The How to Support Couples Coping with Infertility or Miscarriage. That's the one you were.
So we're in the Sanctity of Life. So this weekend, Calvin Beisner is actually on.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And he's talking about the so-called threat of overpopulation. So we'll talk about Malthusianism, Thomas Malthus, the man back in the 1700s that really started this scare that the world can't support the population. And so Calvin Beisner will talk about that. It was a great interview. And we'll explore that with him this weekend.
You know, I've never understood this alarm, this alarmism that these folks who promote that we're overpopulating the planet. We're going to run out of resources. I'm going like, well, have you flown?
That's true.
Yeah.
If you fly over the United States, and we have 340 million people. But if you fly over the United States, you're going to fly over vast, vast, vast landmass that is uninhabited. Mm-hmm. A little town sprinkled here or there. But I'm talking about now, you might say, well, that doesn't mean we have the resources to support more people. Yeah, we do. We can grow more food, and we can, people adapt to, so I mean, I just think, I don't know why the depopulation folks have been successful with their threats.
Well, it actually started back with Tertullian. I mean, he was one of the first ones in Calvin Meiser.
Okay, tell folks who he was.
So Tertullian was a church father that lived, I think, in the 4th century, 3rd or 4th century. And he was the first one to say that, you know, there is a concern that the world can't support the growing population. I mean, this goes way back to the Middle Roman Empire. And then Thomas Malthus sort of made that popular in the 1700s. He was a minister in his own right, I think the Anglican Church. And so he just had a bad understanding. The way that I like the way that Dr. Beisner puts this is that for every mouth that is created, there are two hands. And so, yes, we have one mouth to feed, but we have the ability to produce and to take from what God has given us in the earth to more than abundantly take care of all the population.
Well, and then Paul Ehrlich in 1968, I believe, released a book that was a huge bestseller called The Population Bomb.
Yeah.
And he was predicting that with the, I think by 1980, you'd have mass starvation all over the world. Well, what Thomas, what Malthus and Ehrlich did not foresee was the huge growth, technological provisions for growing more food with better fertilizers and killing pests and all that. And so there was an exponential growth actually in the production of food, which forestalled these kind of dire predictions. But to your point, one mouth to feed, two hands to work and to produce, God is also honoring his kind of Genesis mandate by giving wisdom and understanding to human beings to feed more people and to provide for them.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, thank you.
We look forward to the show this weekend right here on American Family Radio. We also podcast it. So if you want to hear Jeff's content and subjects and
you can say listen to his golden voice.
Listen to the golden voice. Just go to AFR.net, click on podcast, and you'll see Jeff's show and the lineup of guests that he has. It's excellent. You'll try one, see if you won't come back for more.
It's called The Stand Radio.
Yeah, The Stand Radio. So, AFR.net, click on
podcast,
and there it is.
So scroll down and you'll find it.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks,
thank you, Jeff.
Thanks,
appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Jeff Chambly joining us, host of The Stand Radio on the weekends here on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Chris. And, again, you're listening to the radio program right now called Today's Issues, and we do current events. That's mostly what we deal with, current events and news items to keep you abreast of what's happening in our country and around the world as best we can. We talked about these wildfires in Los Angeles, California, that are devastating parts of northern Los Angeles County. Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Malibu and
Pacific Palisades,
Pasadena area.
You're talking about some. That's where a lot of people would have a lot of money live. There's a lot of houses that are worth millions of dollars that are being wiped out.
Right.
Now, a house worth $100,000 is sad that it gets wiped out. I'm just saying this is the home of the rich and famous.
Yes.
And they're having to flee because even they can't be protected from the wildfires.
Right.
So that's a big national, even international news story. Of course, President Trump will be inaugurated
the 20th.
Yeah, a week from Monday. Mm-hmm. A week from Monday. So we're not too far away from that. Meanwhile, the current president, Biden, continues to pardon and do ridiculous things, as outrageous things like pardoning.
We cover the ones in Guantanamo Bay.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay. Yeah, that was in the news yesterday. We still have this on AFN.net.
Tell folks what happened if they didn't hear it. And people, get ready for your blood pressure to go up right here. Go ahead.
Approximately a dozen men from Yemen were sent from Guantanamo Bay, where they have been held for many years. They were sent back to Oman, thanks in part to decisions made by the Obama administration.
They were found guilty of participating in 9/11.
Correct.
Yep. Is that right?
Yes, and that's on top of people.
Were they found guilty?
Think they were ever adjudicated.
Okay, yeah, but they were determined by our. Mm-hmm.
They were connected with
our military to have had a part in it. Thus, they were being held in Guantanamo Bay.
Right, and that's on top of something from several months ago where the masterminds of 9/11 were given a sweetheart plea deal and let go. And that angered even Democrats like Leon Panetta, who served in previous administrations, saying these people should have been executed years ago.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are unhappy with Biden, including members of his own party.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, he's handing out pardons and commutations like he's Santa Claus.
Well, and meanwhile, you got pro-lifers who were faced with the FACE Act and many years in prison, and they're not being pardoned.
Right. And I think Trump's probably going to pardon those.
By the way, we've sent out...
But the comparison in this administration and the hostility toward Christians is, in this case, is...
Yeah, the FBI, the Justice Department, mm-hmm. and their persecution of some of these pro-lifers, and we could go into detail, but we've got we've got an action alert that American Family Association has put out to our supporters, asking President Trump when he gets, obviously when he gets into office, to pardon these pro-life people that have been, well, persecuted, picked on.
Yeah, so if you go, folks, if you go to AFA.net, you'll see right in the middle of the website an action alert. We have action alerts generally once a week, sometimes twice.
Right.
And so we are encouraging people to contact, to sign a petition to President Trump, President-elect Trump, so that when he is in office and he is inaugurated, that one of his first acts will be to pardon people like Paulette Harlow, who is a 75-year-old pro-life advocate. She has extensive medical issues. She was prosecuted under this FACE Act for simply sitting in the waiting area of an abortion clinic in 2020, and she was sentenced to 2 years in federal prison, 36 months of supervised release, when her husband petitioned the judge before sentencing for consideration of her health issues. The judge, Colleen Kolar-Cotelli, basically mocked her faith and said, well, I guess you just have to follow your faith and just trust in your God, I'm paraphrasing, to
help. So this 75-year-old lady.
Yes.
And she did. She was protesting abortion.
Sure.
Yes.
Right?
She peacefully.
Peacefully. Right. She was sitting in a...
It's a waiting area. And
a waiting
praying.
Area and praying. So she probably knew she was going to get arrested for trespassing. I mean, you would think. And she was.
Yes.
But they charged her with the FACE Act. You may say, what is a FACE Act? That's an acronym for...
The Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act.
Because that's what she was doing, right? She was stopping people from going in, right?
No, this was federal legislation that was passed by the pro-abortion crowd to use against anybody who would protest abortion, like having a sit-in.
And this is a story we're highlighting, but there's many others like this.
Yes.
Under the Biden administration. Yes.
Okay, I understand. I don't agree with abortion at all. Obviously, I think it's the taking of innocent human life. But I understand why she would be arrested for trespassing if she wouldn't move. Mm-hmm. Okay? But she wasn't harming anybody. She was just physically putting herself in a place to pray about the situation, about abortion. And then... So if you want to charge her with trespassing and nonviolent, okay, that's fine. But when you go after somebody like a 75-year-old grandma with a FACE Act, you're trying, and 2 years in prison?
Yes.
For this? That's punitive. That is picking on people because you don't like the cause that they believe in. Mm-hmm. If this 75-year-old woman would have been protesting climate change, and she had been trespassing at an electrical plant, for example, or an oil field, then they would have said, okay, slap her on the wrist.
Pay a fine.
Pay her fine.
She got the show on TV now.
And send her on her way. You would not say, because somebody's sitting in an entrance to an oil field, for example, that they get 2 years in prison.
Right. Well, and if this is a federal law,
federal
FACE Act.
Right.
So if I go to Popeyes and they didn't cook my chicken right, and I say, I'm not leaving until you give me my money back. No, we're not giving you your money back. And they call the police. Guess what? That's a local issue.
That's right.
I'm prosecuted under local laws. But the FACE Act, which was enacted in 1994 and signed into law by President Bill Clinton, that was meant to punish pro-lifers. Now, I will say this.
It was about the time of Operation Rescue.
Yes. That there were pro-life activists who would chain themselves to doors to keep the abortion clinic from being able to open. I understand the anger of people on the other side of this issue, but to make a federal statute out of that and punish people like this 75-year-old grandmother shows, to your point, Tim, the hostility towards a Christian view of life.
Well, President Trump can do something about this.
Yes.
He can pardon her and some others that we have listed
Paulette Harlow and others.
So we're petitioning President Trump to do just that when he gets into office, you know, in a few days. So if you want to read more about this and take action, which is what we're about here at AFA, right? And then go where?
AFA.net. You'll see center of the page this action alert. Click through and follow the instructions, and you can sign this petition.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
We'll be back with Steve Paisley Jordahl in just a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.